Hi, welcome back to Bible School with me, Retief, and we're talking covenant. And I've learned it's something that I'm really passionate about. And as you look into the Word and as the Holy Spirit opens up exactly God's heart of covenant to us and how He is a God that is lovingly for us, you cannot but have a passion for this truth. And we trust that it will change your life as well. We've been looking at understanding God, and from there we shift to us as human beings and trying to understand ourselves, realizing that we need connection. We are relational beings. And what is these relationships that we enter into and that we have in life, and especially how do we relate with God? What is the nature of our relationship with God? We said to one another, our relationship with God is based upon covenant. God is covenantal. And from that place, it creates a beautiful place of trust for us. We looked at Abram and how, in spite of his inequality, in spite of his weaknesses, but through faith, God perfectly comes and cuts covenant with him, gives him promises, promises that he can trust because God is covenantal. And there's a beautiful, secure, never-ending covenant that the Lord enters into with him. That he can trust, and he follows the Lord, and we still see the fruit of that covenant to this day. Now, covenant in itself also changes us through the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at that a bit later as we just unpack the covenant of Christ. Many of the things that we've discussed have all been pointing to one thing, and that is this perfect covenant that we have through faith with God through Christ Jesus. We're going to look a bit about the sacrifice of Christ. We're going to obviously look at the three elements of covenant that we've already discussed. Now, in a previous module, we've learned that Christ Jesus is the perfect high priest. In other words, he perfectly mediated between us and God. What does that mediation mean? It means restoring relationship. And he did that because of the perfect sacrifice. So it's the perfect high priest with a perfect mediation that brings forth a perfection in relationship because of that sacrifice. And that is absolutely beautiful. Now, how does this relate to my life today? Thomas Hobbes said the following. He said, life is nasty, brutish, and short. Nasty, brutish, and short. Maybe if it wasn't for the Lord, that would have been a good description of me without Jesus. But there's a cynical way in which he sees that for a reason, that often there's things in life that seems good or is good for a season, but it doesn't last. And so we are all looking for two things I've seen. We don't want to die. We want to be safe and secure. Many times people sacrifice so much and they want that. They want that good thing. They want that good life, just knowing that I'm not going to die and I'm going to be safe and secure. And so covenant gives us a glimpse and gives us, in fact, an answer to this. Is life truly nasty, brutish, and short? Or is there a goodness that I can trust? Is there something that I can trust that will lead forth to me not perishing and dying and being safe and secure? So Thomas Hobbes says that, in short, all that is good in life does not last. And that is just absolutely, biblically speaking, not true. If we believe in covenant, see what it is, made out to be, and believe in the goodness of God. Scripture says in Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 24, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. I think that's beautiful. I think that's a beautiful mantra for your life. I think that's a beautiful truth to settle in all of our hearts. Covenant, we've seen, is a long-lasting, stable, and permanent blessing unto us. Long-lasting, stable, and permanent. That sounds trustworthy to me. That sounds safe and secure to me. And the permanence of this covenant in the last mentioned one, namely the covenant of Christ, is perfect because it is everlasting. It is perfect for it is everlasting. If we look at the three elements of covenant, namely the promise or promises, the oath part, the sacrifice, and then lastly, the sign, we see that all three is perfected in the covenant of Christ. And we're going to break that open. What does it mean to me in real life? If I hear the following, that the covenant of Christ is perfect and his sacrifice is perfect, what does it mean to me in my day-to-day life? And I can quickly ask you the following, and I can maybe mention that you are sacrificing by merely watching and going through Bible school. Hopefully the sacrifice is not that bad today, but you are sacrificing time. There's something else that you could have been doing today. There's something else you could have done to your time and with your time and resources. But you've seen and you know that the word changes your life. You know it's a sharp-edged sword and it will help you and bless you. You know that the promises of God is yes and amen. And now we are learning together of what covenant is. And so we are investing. We're sacrificing, but we're investing for a better future. So this is very applicable when we look at sacrifice. Even take a step back. All over, we see that people work hard. I work hard and sacrifice today. Why? For a better tomorrow. I sacrifice for my family. I sacrifice for my children. Who of us do not want our children to have more or have something different, maybe even, than what we had in a good and godly sense? We sacrifice by investing in education. We sacrifice by investing in retirement annuities. And so in all of life, we are very well known for people that sacrifice. And so I believe the sacrifice of Christ and the longevity of the perfect covenant is very applicable to us today. Where do we see the sacrifice happening in this covenant? We all know by now, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you know the rest. So God sacrificed. And not only did God sacrifice, but Christ then says, here I am, I labor down my life. I will sacrifice again for others to live. And so yes, we know in this world we all know sacrifice. And yes, we know that for the new covenant there was great sacrifice, a great price paid. And that is by grace for us today. The heart of the matter is that sacrifice is very much part of life. Abram, we see, was sacrificed. There was a sure sacrifice of animals when God cut covenant with him. We see in the stories of the word for Israel that so often they had to sacrifice for sins committed to be forgiven and to be washed clean. Over and over again. Going into the New Testament, we also see then that Christ became the sacrifice, the pure and spotless lamb, laying down his life to what? To sacrifice for us. Let's look at a nice segment of the word that puts these two maybe not at loggerheads with one another, but highly illustrates to us how the old covenant gets perfected with the new, and how the new is perfect, long-lasting, and I want to say everlasting for those who believe. Please read with me.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of Ophir sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where will is involved, the death of one who made it must be established. For will takes effect only at death. since it's not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God on our behalf, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Now in Hebrews we read that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. He was the perfect high priest. And so why would we think that the writers of Hebrew would make such a big fuss, if I may say so, of this point? The context here is obvious. For them it was very applicable in that day and age. Why, you might ask? Well, they come from the old covenant dispensation where through tradition they had to adhere to the Torah and they had to sacrifice many a times, and it could not have an everlasting eternal hope for them. It could not be trusted forever, but just for a moment. And so now they've shifted. They've put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and so a new covenant was entered, and there's this tug of war in their hearts and in their minds of which one should I follow? Should I now follow Jesus and what he has brought through the new covenant, or should I still adhere to these old covenant rituals? Is it Moses or is it Jesus? Is it the temple or is it the cross? Is it sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice, or is it one sacrifice once and for all? Is the sacrifice strong enough? And so they wanted to know, which is the right sacrifice? Maybe the Lord is asking you today, maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting me today, in my life where I sacrifice for many things. Ratif, which is the right and only sacrifice? Where are you going to spend your heart and time and effort and mind and faith? Upon a sacrifice that needs to be repeated, that cannot fulfill, that cannot bring forth righteousness, that is not eternal, or the sacrifice that is perfect, once and for all, by faith? In which one, Ratif, do you want to grow? Which one are you truly going to trust? So the Hebrews readers in that day and age sat with exactly the same dilemma, maybe just slightly different than ours. Where should my sacrifice go? Which sacrifice should I trust? Is it mine or is it that of Christ? And likewise, we go through the same. So in Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 22, it is argued that the new covenant is much better. What does this mean? Firstly, if we look at the three elements of covenant, the promises of the covenant, it cleanses us from our sins. It cleanses us from our sins. Secondly, purify our conscience. And I think many of us can actually testify of that after we've received Christ. Thirdly, it enables us to serve God. It helps us. The new covenant will enable. And I love that. Fourthly, it gives us an eternal inheritance. Remember, it's the perfect covenant because it is forever. Secondly, if we look at the blood of the covenant, the second element, the blood of the new covenant is the very blood of whom? Jesus Christ. The perfect and spotless Lamb laying down his life, self-sacrificially giving his life so that we can live. The second element is a very important element because we've said to one another that we all sacrifice, but we need to put our trust in the right sacrifice. And sometimes not our own, but especially in that of Christ. And then the third sign, according to Scripture and what we've seen, it's the sign of the covenant. It's the third element that's very important. It might not be as directly said in this part of Scripture, but what do you think is the sign of the perfect covenant of Christ? What is a sign that you might be wearing yourself, so to speak, in a spiritual sense? I believe in the new covenant dispensation, it is quite clear that the Holy Spirit is the sign. In other words, it is a Trinity in its utmost beauty and perfection coming to say, we need to help out mankind. We need to help them out relationally. We need to help them out with commitment and trust. We need to give them and emulate what we have and give it unto them. But this relationship is unequal, and so in covenant, we're going to have to help them. And so God comes and he lays down the promises and expectations, first element. Christ Jesus says, I will pay the highest perfect price so that this covenant can be perfect, everlasting, and never cease to stop. And then I believe, thirdly, the Holy Spirit comes and he's the indwelling spirit of those who believe by faith, graciously receiving the covenant, saying, I'll help them to keep their end of the bargain. The Holy Spirit is not called the helper for nothing. And it should be clear that I am in covenant with God, for a wellspring of living waters should flow from my belly. The fruit of the Spirit can be seen in my life. And so is it difficult to keep covenant with God? Not if he helps you to do that through his Holy Spirit. For the word says that I will make them both to will and to do for my good purpose. I believe the Trinity helps us in all three elements. I believe that covenant is perfected in all three elements through the help of the Trinity in an absolute of grace. And we receive it by faith. And then we walk by the Spirit. We cannot walk by the flesh. We need to walk by the Spirit to fully walk in the covenant with the Lord. This covenant is perfect because it is timeless. It is perfect because it's God who covenanted with himself, and Jesus perfected it with the perfect sacrifice. Before we end off, coming back to our question of sacrifice, is it for me and for you now a financial investment? Is it building a business? Is it better opportunities and going deeper into my education? Is it loving for my family or creating a nice and healthy environment for them to flourish? Yes and no. Because primarily, there's one and perfect sacrifice that can help us with righteousness and that will lead forth to what? Life and life in abundance. And that is Christ Jesus' sacrifice. My sacrifice and my heart needs to be primarily connected to what the Lord had paid for, to what God had given to me and for you through covenant. None of the other sacrifices that I can make under the sun can ever be strong enough to give me life and life in abundance. None of the sacrifices other than receiving this one of Christ can be enough to give me eternal life. None of these can be perfected as it has been perfected by God. So here am I, imperfect, in an unequal relationship with God, but he says, no, I'll come and covenant with myself and give it to you to receive by faith. And as you receive it by faith, I'll enable you to keep your end of the bargain so that we can flourish and live for eternity. I think that's a pretty good deal. I think that sounds to me like perfect love. I think that sounds for me like 1 Corinthians 13:8, which says, love never fails. And likewise, I believe the covenant of Christ will not fail. Let us receive it day by faith. Let us trust the Lord to walk by the Spirit and see it come to fruition in many, many lives. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your good and perfect work through the Trinity in our lives, in all three elements of covenant. Thank you, Lord, for the nature and the basis of the relationship that you have with us. Thank you that as we connect and as you give us trust, that we can grow in intimacy with you, that we know that you will keep us safe and steady eternally. That even though we might suffer now and again on earth, Lord, that Christ has overcome, the perfect sacrifice has been paid, and through the Holy Spirit, you will help us and enable us to walk in covenant with you. Lord, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in the class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.